First of all, thank you. I want to thank everyone for coming. First of all, thank the Willis for opening their home up for the first annual community shiur. Emirat Hashem, we're planning to have a lot more shiurim for men and women, for women. If you saw, there's some signs hanging up of some upcoming shiurim, halachas of nidah reviews, halachas of childbirth, halachas of babies and children. Various shiurim, if anyone wants to come to me afterwards, by all means, just give me certain topics we're trying to, especially I know more for the women per se, but for men also, any topics. We have Dr. Rav Rashi Yeshiva, we're here to assist the community, and really, we want to try and build the community as a whole, just everyone to get to know each other, but also just for the Torah, for the community itself. So if anyone please wants to come to me afterwards, has any specific topics, there should be a sheet that's being passed around, hopefully it's going around, just get everyone's names, email addresses, so it's another way of getting in contact with everyone. And that's about it. We want to thank Rabbi Neuberger for being the first of our series of shiurim for our community. Shalom bayis.
Thank you very much. I'm going to start for keeping you. Coming up from the east side, and there's an accident, unfortunately, in the 90s, so blocked for a long time. And speaking of shalom bayis, the first thing which comes to mind is a beautiful insight of Chaim Shmulevitz. We are introduced to the idea of Shalom Bayis in many times in Chumash. In Bereishis, we know that they were introduced to the idea that Mutul Ishtanos Mishum HaShalom, who's even allowed to, for us, the greatest value is Emes. Our whole lives are focused on Emes. Emes is what their allegiance to Torah is based on Emes. And Mutul Ishtanos Avur HaShalom, but Shalom Bayis trumps even Emes. Doesn't mean that we should be disingenuous, but it means that because Baruch was teaching us the importance of Shalom Bayis, even Mechikas Hashem. Mechikas Hashem, because Baruch was willing to have his name erased for Shalom Bayis. So the important with the Haskell, but the very first thing you see how important Shalom Bayis is. And we're introduced to this idea when the Malachim come to Avraham Avinu and they ask, where is Sarah? So Rashi explains over there why the Malachim asking where Sarah is. The Malachim know where Sarah is. Why are they getting involved in such a Devarim B'Tehillim to find out where Sarah is? So Rashi says, L'chamim Avala, because they want, the Malachim want to show when Avram to express that his wife is a Ishat Tznua, his wife is at home, taking care of the house, that she's a modest woman. K'dei L'chamim Avala, in order to make sure to increase the love that Avram has for his wife. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, look what's happening over here. Avram is already 99. Sarah is already 90, right? So we would say, you know, if it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen, right? Either they're in love or they're not in love. And by the Malachim are going to come to have Avram become more in love with Sarah. They already leave him alone. They're already almost 100 years old. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, you see, the Avodah Shalom Bayis is an unending avoda that even Avram and Sarah and they have been married for many years already, and they had accomplished tremendous things together. But the avoda of Shalom Bayis is an avoda which is a person should never say, never think that if I accomplish a certain amount, I'll have my Shalom Bayis, and then I'll be on autopilot. And a person should never say that Baruch Hashem, I'm satisfied with the harmony that we have in our home, with the love that we have, the respect we have. For Karen, there's more to accomplish. People grow more. Shalom Bayis can grow more. So that's the first thing we have to keep in mind. Now, when we say that it's a lifelong avoda, so that doesn't mean it's a lifelong burden. Doesn't mean that it's something that's negative for Karen. The avoda of Shalom Bayis is a lifelong avoda, because the homes that we hope to build are homes that are placed in Ashrayas Hashchina. So of course, if you're building a place for Ashrayas Hashchina, for Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and be a part of the home, of course it's going to require a lifelong effort. Of course it's an avoda which should be something that should occupy it. And it's a very important idea within our thinking. Within our thinking, Shalom Bayis is not a means to an end. In other words, it's true that when the home has greater harmony and greater comfort and greater peace, so more things get done. it means that there'll be greater accomplishment in Ruchnias. It means there'll be greater accomplishment in Gashmias. It means the children of the Shem will be happier. They'll be more secure. So much gets accomplished when things are harmonious and are peaceful. But it goes much deeper than that. It means that Shalom Bayis for us is a goal in and of itself. The person lives at Neves Mishana, and he is Baruch Hashem, he and she have put together a peaceful home. That's an accomplishment. That's a tremendous accomplishment. If it didn't accomplish other things, it'll for sure accomplish other things. But even if a person has to know that accomplishing Shalom Bayis, that is a that is an accomplishment. A person should be able to come to Rebbeinu Shlomo and say that that which you were willing to make shame, I invested in myself and I accomplished Baruch Hashem. And that's because it's a place for Ashrei Tashchina. The Pinkus, the Shimshon Pinkus, they put out a new sefer very recently. A sefer on Shalom, a very pretty sefer. I just began to read it when their Torah left. And it's anything he writes is a gem. He has some very pretty insights. So he points out that sometimes in the course of I kept you waiting half an hour. I apologize. In the course of marriage, happens very often that a husband and wife will keep each other waiting for something. In the course of life, it's very often that we have schedules in our minds, and we think we'll come home and we'll take care of certain things. But when spouse has a different schedule, so it doesn't happen with the schedule that I had in mind. Right? Or if I care, my wife had a certain schedule and I wasn't ready. So we think that in a good marriage, husband and wife, they don't say anything to each other. They realize that it's not going to work out according to their schedule. It's in a good marriage, they're quiet, they don't say anything. If I care, they schmooze with each other, it's good to spend time together with each other, talk about different things. So a thinker says that a person then, a person after that situation may take great pride in that here this could have been a source for saying something that was inappropriate, could have been a source for saying something that was critical, and he always has to think so carefully about the context before one expresses the criticism. Sometimes a husband will come home and have certain expectations of the way things that should be run, which is not correct, but have and not realize the tremendous amount of what's going on behind the scenes in his own home. And very often, the family, you don't realize what's going on in your own home. You don't realize the amount of work that it takes to maintain a home, that it takes to raise children, to deal with children, and the amount of effort that's involved. And sometimes, has more certain expectations, which are not correct. And say something in a play test pair before he's really thought about it. Mary Bulka is the Rav in Ottawa, very prominent Rav. So he went to so many years and years and years ago, I saw a horror that he said has made a tremendous impact on him. He said that the halacha is that mitzvah sasech is man grama, nashim pturis me. Women are pturis from time-bound mitzvah. That's one kedushin, halacha, that we're very familiar with. So he said, if the Rebbeinu doesn't expect the Ikaris Habayis to stick to a scheduled husband, How can husbands expect that his wife should be ready at this time and have dinner prepared at this time and have the kids at this time? Because his Baruch doesn't make such demands. So this is a very important insight that homes have their own kind of rhythm, that one's wife is, because of the nature of women, much more in tune to the way the home has to run, the way children have to run, much more in tune to the importance of catching times and moments and minutes. So if Pinkus writes, he says, so that scenario is over. He says, the guy goes back to Beis HaMedrash. So he says to himself, you know, I lost 20 minutes now. I expected to be home, take care of a couple of things, schmooze a little bit, go back to Beis HaMedrash, 20 minutes out of my seder. And he takes great pride in the fact that he accepts it. All right, it'll be 20. So Pinkus says, that's not the attitude he should have. The attitude should be that I spent 20 minutes in doing the Mitzvah Hashem, worrying about Shalom Bayis. I spent 20 minutes, he gives the marshal the person, he said you could have the same individual who was willing to spend 3 hours looking for an Ezra. Right? It doesn't forgive the 3 hours. He was a Seder. He looks for an answer. But if it means being accommodating to his wife 20, 30 minutes, he'll die. Now I've wasted 20 minutes. What's that? What's going on? Those are 20 minutes to a person invested in Shalom Bayis, maybe schmoozing with his wife, talking what's happening, making his wife feel good, getting more involved in his own family. He should say, there were 20 minutes I was doing the Avodah, I was doing the Tzedah Avodah, more important than the 20 minutes I would spend in the 3 hours I spent looking for an Esrik. So let's have to look at the Avodah of Shalom Bayis, when we say that it's something which is a lifelong Avodah, it doesn't mean that we spend 120 years... putting band-aids up and worrying about disasters that shouldn't happen. No. It means that we can spend 120 years and invest ourselves that our homes should be peaceful, that our spouses should feel good, feel good about themselves, feel good about the way the home is running, have a more cheerful atmosphere, a less tense atmosphere. And that is an accomplishment that the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes great pride in and of itself, because that's a person is working for building a home that will have a shreis hashchina. Say that tell Sefer Rav Shach that Rav Shach in the later years, he was once hospitalized and he found out that there was a person that an acquaintance of his in a lower floor. So he said, I wanted to be gecholim. I went to visit this person, 5 years, I was 20 years younger than him. And here he was in his hospital bed, and he was in a very severe state. And they said, please find out which one the person's in, and I want to visit. So they said, the grandchildren said, what are you doing? You're getting out of your bed now, you're supposed to be in bed, you're supposed to be resting. There's not a time to dig a hole in. If you want, we'll see if they'll come to see. He says, no, I have to go down and see this person. And backwards and forwards, after Rav Shach is a very, very strong personality sometimes. So he insisted, I have to go down, and it won't convince me out of it. So they said, okay, if you have to, at least explain to us why you're going down. So he said, I found out that this person who's 2 floors below me, he's come to me several times, his wife has come to me several times to speak to him about, he's abrasive, he's not nice at home, he's not careful, his wife's COVID. And I spoke to him many, many times without success. I figure maybe if I go down now, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will see that I'm not weak, I don't have the strength, but what I wasn't able to accomplish as the person, maybe I can accomplish through Dasa Meidav. Kadosh Baruch Hu will see the shtadlus I'm making to make sure that the home runs smooth, and so maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu will cover my tefillah and give me the success and be able to speak to him and make the home a little bit of a more cheerful and careful place. When we discuss Ish L'Shalom Bayis, so we are really looking at probably 3 different situations. Hopefully we're looking only at one situation, and that is that Baruch Hashem, young couples who are happily married, who are in love with each other, and want to make sure that the love maintains itself, want to make sure the love gets stronger, gets deeper, and want to make sure that there's more Shalom Bayis and there's and want to be strengthened in the Shalom Bayis, and want to chizuk in Shalom Bayis, and chizuk in the air between. It could be other situations. It could be situations where a family is not so happy with each other. So that requires a lot of tikkun, initially to speak with one's rebbeim, maybe even to speak with a professional, and sometimes the family, which is Baruch Hashem, happily married, but there are situations that come up that one has to learn how to deal with and has to become a better and stronger person. And then there's another situation, which again, I doubt whether it's in our community over here, but one has to be aware of it, because sometimes it comes up amongst friends and amongst Talmidim sometimes, that a situation where there are things that are happening which are really not in the normal context of healthy life. If Rahman al-Aslan, nowadays we're very concerned about people being so self-centered to the point of being mean or abusive to somebody else. If a couple experiences, abuse is a very big term nowadays, also has to be carefully and gently formulated. Certainly if Rahman al-Aslan, a spouse ever feels the drive to to push or to hurt one's spouse, so then that means that a person, either one, should have to seek professional people. That's really beyond, as one knows that a couple that one's friendly with, a husband and wife speak to each other in very degrading and sneering terms. It's also a form of abuse. That really requires professional people. We're focused now on situations, again, to be mechazik ourselves, to give ourselves some insight, some guidance, some inspiration, that happy marriages, good marriages, healthy marriages, again, to become stronger and better and be more nourishing. One of the concerns, one of the things which challenges shalom bayis in the culture that we live in, is that the concept of a home is not appreciated in the society around us. You, Baruch Hashem, are young, but you are young enough to remember the homes you grew up in. And probably there are many homes amongst Yireim Mishleimim, where the home, the concept of the home itself as being a nurturing place is somewhat tarnished. Many of us run homes, and many of us grew up in homes. Their home is headquarters. Now, it's the important things of life are happening all over the place, happening in school, and in one's career, and perhaps in a wife's career, and perhaps in children's school. And home is the place where people check in. They check in to say hello to each other, to remind themselves who they're married to, who their parents are, and to make arrangements, to talk about very, very technical things, who's going to pick up whom, who's going to do carpool, who's going to... It becomes the head office to the side of the family. And that is something which is entirely acceptable in the society around us. But to us, we have to aspire for much more. And we don't think, when we think of a home being a place for Hashrei Shechina, I don't think he wants to be in an AT&T call center. There he's calling in to check in. A home, and that is sometimes is demeaned by the concept of a multi-career home. A multi-career home, sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary for financial reasons to have people carry on more than one career, or two careers sometimes. Where Solomon was once giving a shir, that the late was the Mashkiach, so somebody said to Solomon, a woman said to Solomon, when she was married to a fellow Zunin Kailan, she was supporting the entire family. So she said to Solomon, but in the ksuba hanging on her wall, that's not what it says. Right? I thought it says, Anna Asloch Veike Voide Vafarti Tiliche. I thought my husband signed on. I thought the Chazal said that the husband is supporting and supporting the family. So Solomon responded, You're right. And the reason that we read the ksuba nowadays is that people should realize what really is supposed to be happening. And as things can't happen that way, we have to realize that this is not the ideal way that things should be going. There could be different needs in different parts of life where things are skewed. But we read the ksuba because we have to remind ourselves that that's the way things should be happening. And that those are the appropriate expectations. And if things are not the way they read the ksuba, so all the more reason that the husband has had tremendous appreciation that his wife is willing to do things a little bit differently. That's because, so in the society around us, the concept of a multi-career home is not only accepted, it's de rigueur. We as a Jewish community are one of the great outlooks that we're doing to ourselves right now with the tremendous cost of tuition. And with the cost that we sometimes impose upon ourselves because we create expectations for ourselves in various neighborhoods, so one of the great hidden costs of this whole thing is that we are forcing ourselves into having multi-career families. It means that the idea of having one's wife invested in making the home run smoothly, that is not fully appreciated. Many of us grew up in homes where the running of the home is left to somebody who how shall I put it, doesn't have a college education, somebody who doesn't file income taxes, somebody is left to somebody who is So what happened? What's the impression we create? The impression we create is that keeping the home in an organized fashion and keeping the home running smoothly, that's really not a job for a person who's well educated. Not really a job for a person with high aspirations. But that's what makes the home comfortable. A person takes pride in their home. They take pride in the way that the home looks. And they take pride in the way that again, it doesn't mean that people should become obsessive about things where it causes aggravation in the family. But the idea that we are losing touch, that the physical running of the home, that is such a supreme importance for us, because that's the olive base, that's the basis of making a home a comfortable place and a place of stability and a place where children ultimately feel this is a comfortable place to stay. In society now, they still want to relax. They go away. No one can relax in their house nowadays. Right? So people live in beautiful homes. Rooms all over the place. Right? The multi-floor homes. Right? And they want to relax. They got to get out of the house. But it's in the shagat. We buy into it. Right? We have to try harder not to create that kind of situation. To say that a person can't relax in their own home, that means that one can't have this peacefulness and needs to have one's own home. That's a concern. So one of the things that we're up against is that couples, young couples, and certainly couples that already have children, Baruch Hashem, have to work on appreciating that the way that running the home, that is an avodah for a Tzayin Hashem in and of itself. Because the home, again, I don't mean this, that either spouse should be obsessive about the neatness of the home and everything, whatever way people should run themselves, so seichel that would work for them. But investing oneself into the physical running of the home, that is a tremendous avodah, because that's what's going to make a place comfortable where people can relax with each other and enjoy each other, and children can be raised with a certain amount of with a certain amount of simcha. The Chazal are extremely concerned that a husband should have kavod for his wife. And kavod is I mean kavod literally. One of the most important aspects of Shalom Bayis is respecting each other. Trusting each other and respecting each other. I often point out that we know al pi din that the halacha is that the whole din of Eidecha and Mesurin is learned from Taras Mishpacha. So that means that a couple cannot get married unless they trust each other. Trusting each other, trusting each other's decision-making process, respecting each other, wanting to hear what each other has to say, that has to be a part of a home. That's the Rav Zilberstein, the son-in-law of Abel Yosh, he's an Adam Gadol done right. He himself keeps on saying he's the son-in-law, he also reminds us, but he's an Adam Gadol of Yorker. So he writes that when, it's beautiful part, he writes, when Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, he comes back from Mitzrayim, so the Torah says that he comes back halof and asol. So the Rashi says, what's the point that he's coming back? So Rashi says he's coming back on the same road that he took. So Rashi says, what's the big deal taking the same road? Because when Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, he was a poor man. And when he came back, he had to pay back loans. He borrowed on his way down. So he had to pay back his credit. So the Lord Rashi says, many before him say, that's such a big deal. You take a pasuk and say, Avraham Avinu is a great man. He paid back his bills. Everybody should pay back their bills. So what's the point? He says, the Torah says that Avraham Avinu says to Paro, I want you to, it says to his wife, said that you're my sister, Laman, Yitali Valorah. Rashi says, I'll become rich. Yitali Matanis. Avraham Avinu needed Matanis. Again, I'll go for Shema. So the Zilberstein says the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amr Rav Chelva, the only Odom Zor Bechvay Yishtay, Shein Bracha Mitzuya B'Seich Beisei Shul Odom Elo B'Shvil Yishtay, Shein Nemar Ulavra Meitiv Bazur." A person should realize the bracha in one's home comes from one's wife. Doesn't have him shot. Chazal say, doesn't matter if you understand or understand it. Chazal say that bracha mitzvah says beis shel onam b'shvil ishtoi, and therefore, since the bracha in my home is based on my wife's dechuyas, I have to have kavod from my wife. So Avraham Avinu was saying, Rava says, the same Gemara, that he would tell the name of Huza to respect their wives, and by giving kavod to their wives, they'll become materially successful. So Zilberton, that Avraham Avinu was saying that I want to be able to be mefarsed in this idea. I want people to know the bracha, the physical bracha they have, because of Sarah. I want to be able to have a pasuk in Chumash. I want to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and then go back in the same road. And there'll be, and I'll be mekadesh shemayim that became a rich person. I'll be able to say, I got rich because of my wife Sarah. And to establish in quality and strong to the culture of his time as well. So this idea that a person has to have, a husband has to have tremendous kavod. Chazanish has a letter, and in the letter he records that I think is such a tremendous practical insight. And that is, he says, person, husband, wife, comes home, you salute your wife, you salute your husband. And you walk in the door, sounds partial, right? Doesn't always happen. Sometimes you come home, and the phone rings. Sometimes you come home, and one spouse is on the phone. Sometimes the person comes home, and, you know, when the wife is in a different part of the apartment, and you want to take care of something in the front of the apartment, right? If it's a large house, the same thing. That's not covered. You come home. There's a person at home. Your wife, husband at home. Stop and you say, well, you're on the phone. It doesn't matter you're on the phone. On the phone, you say, my husband and wife just came in. It's about for a minute. Say hello. Same thing as leaving. You don't just leave the house and without saying, without indicating to one's spouse that was leaving the house. It's such an important idea of kavod. That means every time you come into your house, you remember, I should be mechaved myself. I leave the house, I'm mechaved myself. That's normal hanhoga. But we're all in a rush, keeping a quick pace. So therefore, sometimes we don't remember these things. But if you remember them, that's what the Rambam says, Sivu chachomim, she'odim mechaved ishto yosem igufoy. I think it's right. So when it comes to many, many halachas, we are very careful to die to the Lashon Chachamim. This is a halacha also. So maybe we don't understand exactly what the Rambam means, but he says it. Say, Odom Mechaved Ishta Yoyse Migufoy. Say, Oyhavay Kigufoy. The Yisod of the Shalom Bayit that we have to work on begins with working with one's own midas. That's the Aleph Bayit, that a person has to be careful of his own midas. That's the Varam Shutin, and that's a life on Avoda, right? For a person to work on one's humility, for a person to work on not becoming angry, for a person to work on patience. These are lifelong avodas. Gedolei Olam, people who are much greater than us, spent their lives working on the Midah. So we shouldn't fool ourselves to think that we're 20, 25, 30, 40, 60, 70, and we have a certain degree of patience, and we have a certain degree of maybe we can lose it sometimes. The lifelong of it, that's the Aleph base of a relationship that the two people should work on their own Midah. But beyond that is that we're building a home, ultimately a place for Shreshkin, ultimately a place we want to raise young people who aspire to be Oyvdei Ritzon Hashem, Gedolim in Ritzon Hashem, people who will be Talmidei Chachamim, people who appreciate learning and support learning. And it means not just being a Baal Midos, but it means part of being a Baal Midos really is understanding what the other person needs as well. Has to appreciate that if a person, and these are Dvarim Pshutim, which are very, very clear in so many contexts of life, right? The person would not consider himself a decent Rebbe, a decent educator, at least in Mechaneches, if they wouldn't try to think about the Talmud, about the person they're teaching, to try to figure out what are their needs, how are they looking at them, right? A person would not consider running and going into a partnership with somebody in business without trying to figure out how is my partner going to look at things in a different way than I would like, right? Wouldn't go into a partnership without figuring out how do they figure we should manage the business, how does that person figure we should order, and that, and then talk about it. So same thing goes certainly with the husband and wife. We're entering a much greater, a much, much more important enterprise. So it's important to realize, and many of you have heard time and time again, that after you get married, it's important to think about it again, that husbands and wives, men and women, for the most part, do things differently. We don't do most things differently, but for the most part, men and women do things differently. And there are certain things that are fairly characteristic. And there's sometimes when a couple will come and all they have to hear is that this is not an issue between this couple. This is two people reminding themselves that they have to remember how the other person thinks and does things and reacts to things. And that is part of our Avodas Hashem, of setting up a beautiful home. And there's things I'm sure you've heard of. Things, for example, that husbands and wives react to most issues with different needs and different concerns. This is became famous when I was your age, a little later. John Gray wrote the famous book, Men from Mars, Women from Venus. Famous book, very important, you saw this. He, unfortunately, I think it's on his third marriage. So, 13. But I think he wrote it in, and he wrote it in a second marriage. So, it's the stakes went from the first marriage. So, he, these are things that are so widely accepted now. It's in all the top psychology books. It's in the Svarim right now, also. Svarim and Sholem Bayis. It's very widely accepted. But it's the Yisod that people have to appreciate. And that is that when an issue comes up and we're confronting an issue, so most women will get great satisfaction if they discuss the issue and they talk about the issue, right? The emotion. And men, for example, are much more focused on what can I do about the situation, right? And sometimes if a husband doesn't realize these things, they will lock horns and they won't be talking to each other. The Moshe, after tonight's, after our shmooze together, right? She'll go home, maybe we'll shmooze about it. So, most women will be satisfied because we touched on different aspects that are on your mind. We mentioned them, we addressed them. Most men will only be satisfied if there was some very specific tool or technique that was given to address a very specific problem. Otherwise, shmooze about it. I don't have to spend half an hour shmoozing with Shomai. He would have given me a technique. He told me when I come home I should say, "Lord, yes, yeah, it was worth it." That addresses the situation. That's lemaite. So a woman, here's the friend ever poshut, right? But that we talked about covenant to each other, that's important. This highlights different appreciations, which is the Shvaruch Hu made as part of our Teva. And if the Shvaruch Hu made as part of our Teva, the Shvaruch Hu wants us to fully recognize it and live with it and understand it and build on it. I remember when our first child was born. So she, Baruch Hashem, she cried for 6 weeks straight. I thought she was upset about her placement. But she, whatever it was, after 6 weeks, stopped crying. I remember that from Double Dushes of Tanya, who lived across the road. So when we were first married, so I was close to him, and I used to ask him how was Shilas. I remember mentioning to him that, he wasn't complaining, just mentioned I guess he asked why we're so tired and so on, whatever. He said, Baruch Hashem, she's a great kid, and she cried. Give him a life. So he said to me, the way you have to understand it is the Shvaruch Hu gives every part of the Bria a way to communicate. Sometimes you don't know what they're saying, but that is still a matana from the Ribono Shel Olam, Because Baruch Hu gave your child away. She needs him. She wants him. You're not sure what she wants, but when she's crying, that too is a matan of nevarshal. It's a way of looking at things. You look at it that way, a different appreciation. So the Baruch Hu gave us different ways to react to things. Both have extreme importance. If a couple doesn't have the tchuna, the quality of a woman to enjoy discussing things, to address issues, to express the emotional response to an issue. If a couple doesn't have that, that means the children don't have that. Children need to be comfortable to express themselves. Children need to schmooze. Children need to have a home needs to have it. And the truth is that Kadosh Baruch Hu probably wants the husbands to have it as well. Because that's the way that there's a certain harmony in the house, a certain peacefulness, the pace is slowed down a little bit, and there's a certain coverage for each other's feelings and the way people see things. On the other hand, if a home doesn't have some focus on how to address an issue, how to focus, or the Russian psychologist, how to fix certain issues, so then we're not going to move ahead, we're not going to address them. So the Baruch Hu, the Chochmosai, created people different tchunos. Again, this is not, you will find men who are not focused on fixing things and are focused on schmoozing about things, and you will find women who are very, very focused on addressing certain issues. It's not a universal, but it's an important insight, because it's true for the most of us. And what can happen many, many times is one's wife had a very difficult day. Things did not go well that day. She comes home and she wants to, and the husband, not she wants it, the husband should be interested in finding out how his wife's day went. You're married to each other, you should want to know what happened to them, how things went. It's very important to share what goes on in your lives together, in the Beit HaMedrash, at home, in one's career, because you're working together, you should know what's going on with each other's lives. A very common scenario which causes aggravation in happy marriages is one's wife begins to say what happened that day. And the husband keeps on interjecting, well, if you would have done this, it wouldn't have happened, right? Or maybe you should do it, maybe you should have seen that the east side driver would have taken a side street, right? That's not what's on the table right now. That's all not important right now. What's important now is that my wife had a difficult day. Well, we'll give her a certain amount of solace. We'll make her more comfortable if she can tell me she had. Right? And if I am understanding and then give her a feeling of the covenant, understanding that she had a difficult day, that's it. That's what she wants. Right? And that's a very important thing to have in my home. And sometimes husbands become very frustrated because we're not focused on how to fix the problem. That's not the problem. That's a cobweb that men have in their mind. That's not the issue right now. The issue is that my home should be a place where my wife is happy, where I'm happy, where we respect each other. That's the overriding issue. The way to get to that goal of having a respectful and happy situation is right now is for me to simply listen and to appreciate what she's going through at home. That's all. Just to appreciate that she had an aggravated day. Right? Me'idach, when a husband is describing what's on his mind, so sometimes a woman will be frustrated because it's sort of, because if he can't deal with the situation, he has no interest in talking about it. If it's not a problem and it can't be fixed, why talk about it? Right? What's there to talk about? So a woman has to understand that is the tchuna of men. Kadosh Baruch Hu made that tchuna. It works. When people work together, it makes the family work. It doesn't mean that the husband and wife should accept this as a reality and allow themselves to sort of to recognize each other and work and go in different ways. No, the opposite. They have to recognize each other, and then each one, in their own way, not only become accepting of what is important to the psychological makeup of themselves, but then addressing it, right? My husband right now does not want to address that issue because there's nothing he can do about it. So So right now we'll talk about something else. Right? So not to talk about that issue. Right? Maybe at a different time we'll talk about the issue. Right? Sometimes there are situations where this is this where men become so ingrained in this tune of it is to a great detriment, because the road to Shia Itza, because by discussing it with the spouse, you come up with ideas, you come up with different looking at things. Sometimes men will never admit it, but that's the way it is. But being able to, if the husband accepts his wife's needs to some extent and becomes a little bit more includes within his own makeup a little bit more of the tune of women, and if women will become a little bit more accepting of the husband's approaches and focus on those needs, so that will create a much stronger and much more peaceful and much more satisfying and a much, much more much greater sense of accomplishment. A spouse at the time says, I know this is what I have to do right now. This is important for my shalom bayis right now. This is important so that our home will be more peaceful, more harmonious. So that's a source of great satisfaction. There are other differences in young couples. In young couples, it takes a while it takes a while to realize that the relationship between one's wife and one's mother-in-law is a very, very precious relationship, and that it is natural and healthy for women to be sharing many, many things which go on at home with their parents, with their mothers. Sometimes it becomes such aggravation to the husband. The husband feels, I'm here, right? Well, you talk to me, right? We can discuss these things, right? So we have to realize that one's wife's not offending one. It's not offending the husband. She's not saying something to the husband that he's not good enough. That this is part of the natural relationship that women have with their parents, mostly with their mothers. Your sisters have it with your mothers. This is a very, very healthy thing. And over time, it changes. Hopefully, one's wife does not say things that should not be shared with the parents. And hopefully the parents are safe over and make sure that one's wife is not saying things that she shouldn't be sharing. On the other hand, sometimes you have a situation where the husband is sort of unusually connected with his parents and shares things with his parents, and so that is sort of an unusual situation, and that really requires focus. And again, hopefully in that situation, the parents are saying something. Parents have to be seichel to this, that they have to remind their children and give their children the sense that they're the new unit. The husbands and wives are now, that the parental relationship is you know, in the background now. The husband and wife, they're the major unit. They should be talking, discussing things with each other. Hopefully parents are seichel to not to put on pressures on children, and sometimes it requires intervention. Sometimes if couples feel that the parents are overly involved and it's things are not they're not acting appropriately, so then it's very hard for a couple to address their parents, but sometimes you get a rub involved to remind the parents they have to step back and hold back on things. But it's the two things are important. It's important for a husband to realize one's wife is different. The relationship she and her mother is a very special relationship, and in the early parts of marriage, it shouldn't change. We are healthy for a change. It's healthy that they should share them, and the husband has to realize this is good for your family. As long as one's in-laws are recycled, it's good for one's family. It's good for one's family that one's wife has a relationship with her mother. It's good for one's children that they should see a mother and a grandmother having a special relationship. That's a healthy thing. And hopefully, again, as long as one's parents in-laws are seichelbik, so then it'll be a source of great bracha. The other, again, is unusual. And the other, if the husband is involves the parents in a way which is burdensome for one's wife, so then the husband has to say, no, this is not the right thing. This is not the way she must, my wife feels burdened by relationship with my parents. We have to talk about it, to think about it. Maybe you can get a third, an outside opinion to discuss what is the, what is, again, within the norms of a happy, healthy situation. Sometimes I found it very, very helpful that for couples, just a suggestion, to say that when issues come up between myself and my parents, so I make the call on that, and when they come to my wife and her parents, my wife makes the call on that. I found that to be very, very helpful. Because otherwise what happens sometimes is issues come up between the parents and the children, and each one's looking at it from the way that they were raised. I look at everything through the, my periscope, through my my prism. So I don't really understand the way that, that my wife's family fully functions. So I'm going to make a call on what's the right thing to do, who's sensitivity concerned about, what issues are going to blow over, what won't blow over. I don't have the right to, I am my prism. When it comes to my family, my wife also doesn't have a great prism of how to look at things. Over time, people get attuned to things. But I found it to be very, very helpful to have that together. If it's a decision, an issue between my parents and myself, so then I have the experience, and I call the shots, and I figure out how we should proceed. One of the important aspects of a home running school, I don't think in our culture, that is our yeshiva, this is much of an issue, Baruch Hashem, and that is the involvement that the men have in the running of the home. That the involvement that the men have in making sure that they're involved in all aspects of the house. There's a famous story in all the storybooks about the what's the stipler. And to me, it's a telling of the story, right? But a husband coming to the stipler and complaining, Erev Shabbos, the house is bananas. The house is so topsy-turvy. And Adar Rega Acharon, mamish, the last minute, things are going on the stove, and things are getting, so the stipler says, to this gentleman, he says, no, so take a brew yourself, right? So I don't understand what the chiddush is here. I don't understand that this is a story. It's a dover, fuck, right? Of course, and again, I think in our group, these things are well accepted, of course. The Rambam writes, when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, Zehu Kavoda, it's Kavod to sweep one's home for Shabbos, to prepare a home for Shabbos. To shop for Shabbos, that's Kavod. To prepare the home for Kabbalah Shechina. There's a great set of Gifter that this shows the godliness of a Gifter. If somebody came to a Gifter complaining that, I don't know, that the house was untidy, that his, I don't know, that the garbage never got taken out of something, that, and when he inquired about it, so it turned out that the husband expected that his wife would always deal with these things. So the Gifter came, the Chodor Yatsmi, he came and knocked on the door one Monday morning, kind of when garbage day was. So he came and knocked on the door right after davening and said, I came to take out the garbage now. The husband didn't think it was Tikvodos. So again, in our situation, I don't think that's such an issue. In our situation, the issue we think is the issue of the pressure. We have tremendous, we live lives of great pressure, lives of great stress, and that sometimes forces us not to think, not to be focused enough on our wife's needs and our husband's needs. It we live with such a strong pace, getting things done, moving from one to the other, minds that are always thinking about the next thing I have to get done, that we don't slow down enough to think, what are the needs of my spouse, what are the needs of my home. Rambam writes in the famous Perek Tetzvos, Halacha Yotes, that Tzibu Chachamim, She'onu Mechavet Es Ishtoi, Yerisim Gufoi, Tzibu Chachamim, Tzibu Chachamim, Tzibu Chachamim,
husband should not be sad.
This is from Sigur Schwanger. What is this comment?
The Rambam says the husband's job is to make sure there's cheerfulness in the home. Al-Hayyot say means before he comes into his house, he has to check himself. What's his frame of mind? His frame of mind is that he's aggravated because his day didn't go so well. Hold off, doesn't go back in the house yet. First, he has to get himself in a good frame of mind. His job is not to bring the aggravation from outside into oneself. Al-Hayyot say. That's important you said. I remember when Freddie made a very strong impression on me is the introduction to John Garay's book. The introduction to his book was that he was coming home. He had a difficult day. He just came into his house and his wife was a dead sick. And she was very aggravated. She was uncomfortable. And he gets home. He's in a very difficult day. He's about to go in to see his wife. His wife is also very schwach, very uncomfortable, very... And she begins to complain to him. She begins to complain that she's uncomfortable. Could he get her something? And he says to himself, I don't need this now. I had a very, very tough day. If I stay here, I'm going to get very upset and aggravated. He says to his wife, sorry, I'm not in a good frame of mind. I got to get out of here. I got to get back in the car. I got to take a walk. And she says to him, John, you're a fair-weather friend. If you would have come home, and I would have been fully dressed, and I would have left and making cheerful and running around the house, it would have been great, right? But now, I'm in bed, I'm sick, I'm aggravated, uncomfortable. It's not the place for you. You're not supposed to be here. He made a tremendous ration on me. The person comes home, and sometimes it's the nature of men to say, I can't fix this problem. It's not going to be a good situation. No. So I can't. It's when a person has to step up to the plate and say, we're building a home together. We have the Baruch Hashem. We fell in love together. We are in love together. What? Shlomo Melech writes, Toiv lo gever ki yisa ol min ha'urav. That a person is good for a young man from his very earliest years to work hard, to carry a burden. Isa ol. So the Medrash says, ol ishto. Ol ishto. Good for a man to take the burden of his wife. What is the burden of his wife? So at the end, which sefer I saw this? I believe I saw this in the sefer, probably in either Chaim Friedman or Mavoldi sefer. He says, ol min urav doesn't mean the burden, the yoke. It means the avoda of the image, the avoda of working with personality, the avoda of understanding the person whom I'm living my life together, the avoda of understanding that she's a little bit different, that I'm a little bit different, that we come from different parents, that we come from different backgrounds. That's tov l'gever ki yisa ol min ha'urav, appreciating these things. So these are some ideas. Again, the fact that we're here smoothing together, the fact that that you thought this is something that we should discuss at the very beginning to open a shul like that, means that Baruch Hashem, we're here because we have happy homes together, we have good relationships together. But we want to make sure that the homes become even happier and even better and even stronger, because as a person we have this an incorrect picture. Very often we have an incorrect picture that when you're first married, so then you're crazy in love with each other, but as time goes on, so then you get older, you get more serious, you get weighted down by other ideas, you get and maybe the passion of life becomes quieter, and it's absolutely fakir. You get older together, you spend more time together, in a respectful relationship, in a relationship where you're listening to each other, and learning from each other, and appreciating each other, and in love with each other. So you spend more, you do more things together. You begin, Baruch Hashem, to have children together. You can raise children together. There's so much more going on. Life becomes so much richer. You pursue careers. You help each other make decisions. You help each other deal with things. So every single event is an event where you keep on building a stronger relationship. So after a year of marriage, after 2 years of marriage, you're much more in love than you were when you first got married, because you've done so many more things together. You've accomplished so much more together. You've spent more time together. You have so much more reason to love each other. You're raising children together. You have much more reason to love each other then. So the love for a husband and wife becomes stronger and greater, as that's what we envision for ourselves. Closing one or two ideas, I was once at I once came to a home where, for lack of a nicer term, the young girl come back from Eretz Yisrael, and she had flipped out. She became very, very stronger. And it was a fairly modern home. And a home with a lot of learning issues, a home with a lot of learning. And she came home and she wanted to marry a Kohelnik, and she, Baruch Hashem, she married a Kohelnik, and they're very happy, married Baruch Hashem, raising a beautiful family. But as soon as she came home from Eretz Yisrael, the father made a siyum, and the father invited Rabbi Friedler. We used to do Rosh Hashiva in Breuer before they was in Gateshead. And he came to be part of the siyum, and he saw that the chevra was chiding the parents of this young girl, and that was going to marry a Kohl fellow. So he spoke, he said a very important word. He said that Yirtzeh Hashem, your daughter will marry Talmud Chacham, and you'll see a tremendous bracha. Because, and that's the bracha of Chazal say that a person should always try to marry off their, trying to marry off the children of Talmud Chacham and to marry a bas Talmud Chacham. He says, what's the bracha? And the bracha is that if a person becomes a lamed, then he always has a source of simcha. A person becomes a lamed, then, you know, when you learn and you accomplish and you accomplish well, you learn a sugya. And when you finish the sugya, everything fits in, you feel a tremendous sense of simcha. A difficult toast. And you spend hours and you work hard on the toast, and you finish the toast, and there's a certain excitement that you finish the toast. You live in a difficult Rambam, you're in a tyrant, whatever it is, that's what we strive. We strive to make sure that our learning provides simcha for us. So he says, your daughter will marry a Talmud Chacham, she'll marry a person who'll always have a source of simcha. See, that's the greatest bracha. Because that means that nothing can get that person down. That even if it's an aggravation, some difficulty, he always has a gemara, he always has a taisvah, he says, working 20, 30 minutes. There's an excitement back, there's life back. It's a tremendous, tremendous bracha, it's a tremendous idea how important learning is. Learning is important per se, and it's important because we want to become to the chachamim. Learning is important because hamori shavoy achzir lemutav, because that's our best guarantee for becoming bali midas. Is hamor shavoy achzir lemutav, the Torah has an impact, and because it's a source of Baruch Hashem, a great simcha. We'll close with one beautiful verse from Chaim Shalevitz, that when Yosef was born, so Rachel says, Osaf, to get the exact process, which is Bali Kuvir, Kim Osaf is Kherpasi, because Rachel solved my embarrassment, my shame. So Rachel says, Rashi says, what was Rachel saying? So Rashi's pshat was that until now, if something spilled in the house, the Yaakov's eyes spilled. Until now, if something is sparm all over the place. So Yaakov thought that I didn't put the sparm back. So that, I tell you, an interesting part. That people something very important. That this is one of the differences between men and women. I tell you enough. Did he be having to finish learning, right? Did he have it? So leave the sparm on the table. So my wife says, "The table's a mess, right? The table's a mess."
That's what the Torah is supposed to be. No, you finish learning, so you have to hold the Torah back on the shelf and take it back on the, I'm going to be back here in another hour or two. So that's what the Torah is supposed to be. So for me, they're in their proper place. The house is the Sutter, right? For my wife, the house is not in the Sutter. I'm getting it away. That's another important issue between husband and wife. It's a very simple thing. But you want your wife to feel comfortable, right? So take 2 minutes extra to put the Torah back. So Rachel says that now, when things are out of order, Yosef, I'm off the hook. So Chaim Shlomo says, that's what went through Rachel's mind. Rachel was pining for a child, right? Elderly bonim. And Meisanechi, Rachel said, she's not going to live without a child. Finally, after so many years, Leah, child, Dilla, Zilpa, she has no children. Her whole life. So now she Baruch Hashem with a child. And the first thing that comes to her mind is, I'm off the hook now. Next time the grape juice spills, it's not going to be me. Right? How you talking? So the Chaim Shlomo says, that is how great children life is. We think when the milk spills and a spout of the plate has tear, I shouldn't say, can't catch it, so he says something, and that causes one's spouse aggravation, that's a klinika. Maybe it's not good, but go to Eiffel of it. But for Rachel and for Yaakov, that moment, that was a very important moment. Because that's part of Shalom Bayis. So being able to have more Shalom Bayis, that's what went through Rachel's mind. Go to Eiffel of it. That's a great moment for us. There are lots of things to talk about. It's late, so you apologize for coming late. If some of the things we said are helpful, Baruch Hashem, and I'm very happy that I was able to share them with you, and it gives us the chizuk to the important avoda, and the shalom bayis is avoda in of itself, and an accomplishment in and of itself, that a person should be able to take great pride in. So then I'm very happy to share these ideas with you.